Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So from low-income youth unemployment, we turn to the graduating class of aspiring lawyers. With me now is Chris Fisher, editor-in-chief of the New York Law Journal, to talk about Tuesday's announcement that requires prospective lawyers to do at least 50 hours of pro bono work in order to practice law in New York. And we will also replay a caller who we had on Tuesday who was contemplating borrowing six figures worth of money to go to law school and wasn't sure if it was a good idea at all. So Chris Fisher, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to be here.
Let's begin with Chief Judge Jonathan Lipman's announcement that he will make New York the first state to require lawyers to perform unpaid pro bono work before being admitted to the bar. What's the wisdom behind this move?
Well, I think it's important to understand that Lipman has made this lack of legal services for the on the consumer side, on the civil side, I should say, really a signature issue. He has come at this from many different directions. He has a task force that for a couple of years now has said that only about one in five consumers who have a civil legal need are getting legal services. He has also managed to put funds in the judiciary budget in order to dispense them small amounts to some legal service providers throughout the state. He also, before the 50-hour requirement for law students, he created an emeritus program to try and attract retiring attorneys to spend their time providing civil legal services. And now he has come at it with the law students requiring that 50 hours during their law school career of pro bono service. So he's coming at this from a lot of different directions. The real issue here is the lack of lawyers for the kinds of legal problems that we're talking about are not criminal, but you're talking bankruptcy, Social Security, disability benefits, housing, that kind of thing.
It's incredible that there's a lack of lawyers for that because there's a glut of lawyers in general. Some people are recommending that nobody go to law school for a while until the ranks thin out. So is it people aren't going to these specialties or people in these specialties aren't donating their pro bono time to lower income people who need them?
Well, it's a couple of factors going on at the same time. I guess the question is, are there too many lawyers to do mergers and acquisitions work? Probably. Are there too many lawyers in this segment? The problem is a lawyer also has to make a living, and we're really asking for pro bono work here. There are multiple programs geared toward helping people in the situation. But I think you saw an influx in the economic downturn when more people wound up with consumer debt, credit card debt, medical bills. And one of the reasons that Lipman is coming to this is that so many people have wound up in court without lawyers. The emphasis here, I think, behind all this is to get people to intervene and help these folks before they ever have to get to court. Now, are people donating their time? Yeah, they are donating their time. But the need seems to be so great, and really lawyers are out there to make a living. So it isn't always a match of the number of hours you can put in to help these people. I have to say a lot of law firms donate thousands and thousands of hours a year to this kind of work, but there's just a lot of it.
Is this 50-hour requirement before being admitted to the bar landing as controversial?
You know, the reaction so far has been great idea, aspirational, rather a bold move, but let's see what's in the details. There are a lot of questions that come up. For instance, there is something funny about mandatory volunteer work, but leave that aside. The biggest issue is probably how are these people going to be supervised and trained? They are only in law school. Now, law students are allowed to provide in New York legal work, but they have to be supervised. And so the question becomes, who's going to supervise them? You have a lot of legal service providers, Legal Aid, the Legal Services Inc., and many, many others who do have an infrastructure to work with volunteers, but all of these volunteers, 5,000 students, I don't know. That's what they're worried about, is creating a program, enough resources to be able to supervise and really train. The other question is 50 hours too much or too little? Most of the providers tell us that you need at least 40 or 50 hours from a person so that they can actually do some real work, because they don't know anything when they walk in.
Are people saying it's too much? 50 hours is just 1 week's work. For a corporate
lawyer, it's not too much, it's enough.
Yeah, for corporate lawyers, 50 hours is a half a week's work.
Oh, right. There's no question. And this is there are two law schools in New York, Albany and Columbia, that both have, I think, 40-hour requirements.
Uh-huh.
And it's a no-brainer. It's not hard for the students to do. The question some people are raising is, what happens to the student who's trying to keep down the debt and working full-time and going to law school? When are they going to do it? But those are the kinds of details that have to be worked out in this.
Now, on Tuesday, we opened our phones for a round of what we call advice related. Callers call in for a piece of advice from any listener. In exchange, they give some advice to another listener in need. No need to be an expert. So our first caller turned out to be Sam from Montclair with the following question.
Graduating from undergraduate this year and this May, and I got into a few law schools in New Jersey and New York, and I'm having trouble deciding which ones. There's price considerations. Some of them are, I guess, better schools, but I didn't get as much money as through scholarship, and I don't know what to do.
And he said, looking at the more expensive law schools to which he didn't get much of a scholarship, he might get into debt to the tune of close to $200,000. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of reaction on our comments page, some encouraging, some with specific advice, some just disparaging him for becoming a lawyer anyway. have you advised others on decisions like this?
I have not really advised. I don't think it's my place, but I do think that what's going on is an adjustment in expectations. I think the whole law school, we can make millions of dollars, and certainly there are many attorneys in New York making millions of dollars. This really got popular around the tech bubble when law firms could not hire fast enough or pay more money to the best and the brightest because they were all going off to Silicon Valley. That has severely changed. There's a lot of that drew an awful lot of kids into law school, and the expectations by the time they come out, as you know now, that's completely changed. There's also a lot of economic pressure on the law firms. Believe it or not, clients are not paying for things like they used to. Clients don't want to pay for a first-year associate making $160,000 a year to sit and read legal documents. They don't want to pay to do research. So the law firms, the profitability within the law firms is changing. It's shifting, and I think lawyers are having to manage their expectations. There are certainly very successful lawyers out there who have lived nicely, put their kids through college, and have a retirement account, who have not been in the $1 million to $5 million range of law firm business here in New York City. So I think that, your caller asked all the right questions. And really, if you manage your expectations, I mean, even that ABA report that came out a few years ago talks about the advantages of going to a state school and not taking on as much debt.
Mm, that ABA report.
You're not going to make as much when you come out.
American Bar Association, 2009, warned people away from going to law school because of exponentially increasing tuition and a relatively bleak employment market.
That's true. And I think that was a real kind of, you have to manage your expectations. What are you looking for here? And if everyone in right before then, that was before the crash, was expecting to make $160,000 when they came out of law school, that's not the case. Those positions are getting fewer, and law firms are just not hiring. Now, there was an interesting ABA study not long ago that showed where a lot of the graduates from the New York law schools are getting jobs. And a good 20% were going into law firms of fewer than, I think it was 15 or 10 attorneys. Smaller law firms are hiring, but obviously they're not paying $160,000.
Chris Fisher, editor of the New York Law Journal. Let's get some of your reactions, folks, lawyers or others, to the idea of mandatory 50 hours of pro bono work before a graduating law student could be admitted to the bar. And any other advice for Sam from Montclair, 212-433-WNYC, lawyers, others, 212-433-9692. And Corey in Crown Point, you're on the air. Hi, Corey. Corey, sorry, Corey, now we have you.
Yeah, quick advice for Sam, since I've been practicing law for 30 years, mostly at large firms. My son is a second-year law student. Unless you can get into one of the top 10 law schools and are going to really work hard and get really good grades at that top 10 law school, go to the whatever school is the cheapest, don't take on any debt, and just become a lawyer because you want to become a lawyer. But otherwise, don't... It's only the top 10 law schools that are getting the good jobs.
Corey, thank you very much. Chris Fisher, do you think that's generally accepted wisdom in the profession?
Well, I'm hearing that more and more from partners who have worked in the large law firms and really done well because the business has changed because of the pressure on the firms, because you have to be a rainmaker now to really be respected and make good money in a law firm. They're telling their own children the same thing. I think that's pretty consistent advice. If you love the law, by all means, go do it and find a way to make a living. But, I go back to the expectations.
Ephraim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for putting me on air. I'm from Russia, and I feel today like I'm back to my former country. First, you discussed affordable housing. Now you're discussing the work for free. It seems like the measure is perpetuating the poverty in this country instead of making people rich and able to afford the services and housing. We just provide free stuff for them. I don't understand how we can expropriate people's labor, and I understand this is what we are discussing here. So lawyer as an iron worker provides the labor, whatever it is, is dirty or under the desk.
Right, and let the market determine it, you're saying.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to leave it there. Ephraim, thank you very much. Debbie in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, I'm taking you over to your hand. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I wanted to say, at first when I heard this story, I was like, you know, it's so, how can you expect these poor law students who are anyway going to struggle to pay back their loans to, you know, take time off and do the pro bono work? But then I realized I work as an occupational therapist, and there's an expectation of every, you know, almost every profession I could think of in the health field, we're all required to do internships or residencies or whatever you want to call it when we're still in school. I had to do, you know, 12 weeks of each specialty, so that was, you know, and each week, you know, it was a 35-hour work week, so that was plenty of what you could call pro bono work, but that's the way, you know, that they expose us to the field and we get real hands-on experience as opposed to sitting in a classroom. And for myself and a lot of my classmates, that was really where we learned everything that we know. You know, there's one thing learning something from a textbook, but to really get hands-on and learn like that is a whole different learning experience.
And it's not a controversial expectation in the health professions. Lawyers could learn a lesson from that, you're saying.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Brian in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just so you get a perspective on who I am, I'm just graduating from Rutgers Law School in, you know, a week or two. I went there on a full scholarship, and I have about 10 years experience doing LSAT prep and pre-law admissions. Mm-hmm. And the market has gotten so bad now that I'm literally talking my potential clients out of going to law school. It's costing me thousands of dollars of potential tutoring money, but I can't in good conscience talk someone or, you know, take their money to train them for the LSAT.
What about telling them to go into some of these fields, like certain kinds of civil law that Chris Fisher was describing before, that are understaffed? You may not get $160,000 a year when you get out of law school, but maybe there are meaningful professions to be had.
Sure, and that's something that gets trotted out all the time, like, oh, what about government work, or what about serving, you know, the poor and so on. There's a couple of problems with that. First, the market is so absurdly oversaturated that, frankly, those jobs just aren't available anymore. You know, it used to be that if you went to law school and decided to do government work, you'd be like, oh, he's slumming it, he's just doing it for the job security. But even those kind of nonprofit, feel-good kind of job positions are as or more competitive than firm jobs used to be. The other problem, of course, is simply those jobs don't pay enough to let you pay your loans back. I mean, if you're going to be living the ramen noodle lifestyle until you're 40, if you want to have a feel-good job and pay back law student loans. I would also add that even for people in my position who managed to get to a full-ride scholarship to law school, they should still think very carefully about going or not, just because the opportunity cost of those 3 years is tremendous, especially for people like myself who already had a job before they went to law school.
Brian, thank you very much for your candor. And Chris Fisher, editor of the New York Law Journal, will pretty much leave it here. But it is amazing. I mean, in a country that seems saturated with lawsuits, that seems like there's a lawyer everywhere you turn on almost every, you know, aspect of transaction that you have to do in this country, for there suddenly to be a glut of lawyers and for this to have seem to have come up in the last few years, it's kind of mind-boggling to a layperson.
It is mind-boggling. But the problem has always been out there. It just hasn't always had that much attention. I think that the cutbacks in the courts, the cutbacks, the pressure on law firms, and the economic downturn have really brought this to the fore. And that's what Littman is really trying to get at here, that we do have lawyers, we do have talent, and here's where some of this they're not asking you to go full-time and not make any money, but to chip in and to take some of these cases and help your fellow man.
Chris, thanks a lot for talking about this with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Chris Fisher, New York Law Journal editor. The writer Julia Alvarez is our next guest on her new book, largely about tension between Dominicans and Haitians. Stay with us.